Amen. Smile at me and wave at me on this brisk winter morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. I want to conclude the short series that we began for the month of January. The word that God put in our heart as you're turning to 2 Samuel 5 is the word breakthrough. Say that with me. We've been believing and we're praying this month for breakthrough. And we've been sharing with you this message. And I just want to, before we continue, I just want to also take a moment and mention about baptism. Next Sunday will be water baptism. And if you would, it's not too late to be part of it. If you've not been baptized in water and you'd like to take that next step, we would be honored to have that privilege to do that and meet with you even this week. So please let us know, and we'd love to do that. Then also next Sunday night is the community, the City of Warren Community Prayer Service. We have the privilege to host it here. There'll be people from all of the different churches in Warren joining us. We'd love to have you at 6 o'clock. Pastor Rick will be facilitating that for us, and we want to encourage you to be here and to be part of that prayer service. How many know breakthrough comes through prayer? And that's one of the things that we've been talking about. So this morning, as we look at the word breakthrough, we told you, we gave you the definition for the word breakthrough. It's a military term. It speaks of an advance through and beyond the enemy's front line of defense. It's an act of removing or surpassing obstacles or barriers, the overcoming of a stalemate, a significant and sudden advance, development, or achievement. And this is what we've been praying for and what we've been focusing on this first month of January as we believe God for breakthroughs. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, we ask you to turn to, that's been our scripture focus for this month and for this short series. In verse 17, it says, "And David was anointed the new king of the, and the Philistines immediately came to attack him." How many know the enemy doesn't want you to advance, doesn't want you to grow, doesn't want you to have get past those barriers and obstacles, wants you to remain in a stalemate, wants you to remain where you are, and doesn't want you to experience breakthrough. And when David experienced this new chapter in his life, when he was anointed the king, immediately the enemy was at work behind the scene. And as we began this new year, and as we move into new adventures and new challenges, and Jordan, I want to say to you, as you step into this wonderful, know that there's an enemy at work that doesn't want to see you succeed and wants you. But here's the good news. As while there is an enemy that's at work wanting to keep us from advancing and breakthrough, how many know there's a God who's greater, who is for us, that wants us to experience breakthrough, wants us to bust through those barriers, overcome those obstacles, get past those stalemates, and pass through the enemy and beyond into victory. That's what God has for us. How many know the Bible says, greater is he that is in us? Come on, I know it's cold. I know it's January. I know it's we shoveled snow yesterday. But greater is he that's in us. Yes, there's an enemy at work that doesn't want us to advance. There are factors in this world and circumstances of life that keep us back. But God is greater than those things, and he wants to cause us to break through. And notice what it says, "And David came to Baal-perazim and he smote the Philistines." And the Bible says, he said, "The Lord has broken through." David speaks of this idea of breakthrough. "The Lord has broken through upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters," as water gushing and bursting through the wall of a dam. It busting through as a breakthrough. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal. The word Baal-perazim means the master of breaches, or the God, or the place of breakthrough. I believe that God is still a God of breakthrough. And I believe today is still the day and the place where God wants to bring breakthrough into our lives. And so we've looked at, and we introduced this short three-part series, and we've looking at the steps for breakthrough. The steps for breakthrough. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the three things that David did. This series is about the three things that David did that we can do to experience breakthrough. 2 weeks ago, we looked at step number one, and we told you from 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, and then verses 22 to 24, that the Philistines came and they spread around the valley of Rephidim, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord told him to go, and he went up, and he fought against the Philistines. Then the enemy came back against him, and David, it says, he inquired of the Lord again. And this time the Lord said to wait until he hears the sound of the tops of the mulberry bush, and then to attack. David inquired of the Lord. So we talked about 2 weeks ago, the first step for breakthrough is to pray, is to inquire of the Lord, to seek the Lord's wisdom on what he wants us to do. Two times David inquired of the Lord, and two different answers each time. And God, we need to be sensitive and pray and ask God for his wisdom and to pray. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we made this important statement under step one. Prayer is not the only thing, but it needs to be the first thing. How many know the first thing we need to do is to pray? The first thing we need to do is to seek the Lord. The first thing is we need to do is find out what God wants us to do. Not just act out of instinct, not act out of human experience, but to inquire of the Lord and to seek his face. And then the second step we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the second step in 2 Samuel 5 and 25. The Bible says, after David inquired of the Lord and the Lord gave him direction, it says, and then David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he smote or defeated the Philistines. How many know prayer is not the only thing, it's the first thing. And then after we pray and we seek the Lord and we inquire of him, how many know there's a point where then we have to act on what God tells us to do? How many know there's some people still praying about things that God's wanted us to do a long time ago? See, prayer is the first thing. It's not the only thing, but it's the first thing. But once we pray, then when the Lord directs us and the Lord leads us, then we need to take the step and we need to obey what he says. And that's the second step to breakthrough. The first step is to pray. When we pray, we experience breakthrough. But the second step is when we obey and how we obey. How many know it's not just that we obey, but how we obey that matters. Last week we talked about this statement, maximum obedience brings miraculous opportunities. We looked at Naaman and how God told him, the prophet told him to dip seven times in the muddy Jordan River. And when he dipped seven times, he experienced his healing, his miracle, his breakthrough. How many know if he'd have dipped six times, five times, four times, three times, two times, one times, he wouldn't have experienced breakthrough. But maximum obedience, when we honor the Lord and obey what he tells us to do, we will experience breakthrough in our life. Now, if you miss these first two messages, they're available by CD. You can go to the website. You can download them at no cost. You can listen to them anytime. I want to encourage you because these two first steps, say pray, say obey. How many know those two things are so important? They're simple, but they're important reminders that that's where our power comes. Our power comes through prayer. Our power comes through obedience to the Lord. And when we do that, we can experience breakthrough in our life. Now, we challenged you that during this month of January, we've asked you to pray. We began the first day of the month. We had the 31-day book, the Tozer book, which was a journal through 31 days through the entire month. And that was simply just as a guide or something to help us to pray every day during the month of January. Get into the habit of spending time each day with the Lord. And I trust that you're doing that. If you haven't, jump in and start now. But get in a habit and begin to spend some time each day and to pray. Now we're adding a step of obedience and a step of fasting, and that begins tomorrow. For the past 3 years, we've introduced the Daniel Challenge to you, which is one aspect of fasting. And we have challenged you that during these next 10 days, even as Daniel set aside 10 days and said, prove me. And during that time, he experienced breakthrough and God used him miraculously in the scripture. And so we're adding now to the prayer this next step. And tomorrow begins our 10-day challenge to pray. And how many know when we will pray and we will obey, we can experience breakthrough? We're creating an opportunity for us. In your bulletin, there is the guide on the Daniel, if you want to follow that, or if the Lord directs you to fast a different way than that. But do something as an act of obedience. What is the, inquire of the Lord. Say, Lord, what is it you want me to do over these next 10 days? What is it that you desire me to do? We believe everyone and anyone can follow this Daniel challenge, the Daniel fast guide. That's something that's manageable. Or if the Lord directs you to do something more, or you want to do something different, you be obedient to the Lord. We're just creating the opportunity. And I believe that as we pray and we obey, how many know we will experience breakthrough? I believe, I can't guarantee you that this will happen, that, but I can guarantee you that God will honor his word when we pray and when we obey. Now listen, if you have medical concerns and questions, talk to your doctor. Certainly there are things that need to be, you need to use wisdom, and we've talked about that, and we've taught on this idea of fasting. But I believe Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. It wasn't an option. He said it wasn't if you decide to pray, if you feel like fasting, if you feel like giving. He said, no, when you do it. He taught the greatest discipleship class of all in Matthew 6. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Those three disciplines should be a part of every believer's life. And that's why we create the opportunity the first month of the year as a challenge, and to create an opportunity for us to take that next step of growth and say, wherever I am in my praying, I'm going to grow a little bit more and stretch in that. Wherever I am in my giving, I'm going to grow and take another step. Wherever I am in my obedience, in my fasting, I'm going to believe God. And I guarantee you, as we honor God, God will honor us in that. So I want to challenge you to join with us and be part of this. And then we are going to look forward to seeing the answers. We've already seen. Last week, our brother shared about the healing that took place right here at the altar just a couple of Sundays ago of his shoulder. And we've heard already other testimonies that we're going to be sharing more with you that have already happened. But I want to challenge you to take that next step and join us as we believe God. How many know when we pray and when we obey, things happen in our life? Now, I was thinking about this as we head into tomorrow's fast and as we head into this next step. And I came across a story about a person that one of the co-workers said to her, why is it that you stop for donuts when you just began a fast? And she said to her co-worker, well, I came around the corner to the donut shop and I prayed. I said, Lord, if you want me to have donuts today, let there be a parking spot right there in the front. And wouldn't you know it, she told the coworker, on the eighth time around, there it was. Now you can pray and then not obey. We can pray and say, God, if you really want me to have a cheeseburger, Burger King's going to have a commercial three times during my favorite TV show. Which is possible. Listen, take the step. Wherever you are, start somewhere. And take a step and say, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to obey in these next days. And I'll tell you what, I believe God will do amazing things in our life. Now, this morning, I want to give you the third and final step. This is part three. This will be the final message in this short three-part message on the steps for breakthrough. And I want to look at the third one. Let's go back to verse 20 of 2 Samuel 5. David came to Baal-perazim and he smote the Philistines. So he inquired, then he obeyed. And after he obeyed, notice what it says. And David smote the Philistines saying, everybody say saying. Notice David had something to say once he won. He said, the Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me, as a breach or a breaking forth of waters, like gushing water bursting through the wall of a dam. Therefore, he called, say called, called the name of the place Baal-perazim. Now, that word Baal is the name of the Philistine god. The mountain that David fought in that location of that battle was in the shadow of Mount Baal, which was a mountain that was dedicated to the Philistine god called Baal. I always wondered that when David won this great victory against the Philistines, why he didn't change the name of the mountain to Jehovah-perazim and rename it. But instead of renaming it, David called the name Baal-perazim, or the God, the master of breaches. And what David was saying And what David was declaring when he said, saying, the Lord has broken forth. What David was doing, he wasn't renaming the mountain, but he was redefining it. And he was saying, listen, this mountain used to be the place where Baal was the master. He says, but today the Lord has broken forth. Today the Lord has defeated our enemy. Today it's the Lord's mountain. Today the God I serve is the God who is the God of breakthrough. And he spoke that, and he declared that it's the Lord who has broken forth upon mine enemies. Can I say something important here? Is that David was calling out his enemy. Oh, come on. David, after he defeated them, he stood out and he declared, the Lord has defeated my greatest enemies. And the Lord is the master over this mountain and over this valley. He were in the valley of Rephidim, which means house of giants. They were in the shadow of Mount Baal, which was the mountain dedicated to the Philistine god Baal. And David, in the midst of that valley, in the shadow of that mountain, said, it's the Lord God, Jehovah, who defeated mine enemies. And he was calling out the enemy. How many know in sports there's such a thing called smack talk? Anybody know what smack talk is? It's when the guy who just shot the winning basket stands over the team and he says, that's me. We just knocked you down. We just defeated you. You see, I believe David was doing some spiritual smack talking. David was saying, listen, this place is no longer the house where giants rule. The Valley of Rephidim. This is no longer the place where Baal rules. The Lord has broken forth. He called out his enemy. He called out his mountain. He called out the giants. How many know this is the same David who earlier, when he came across Goliath, stood in front of Goliath and said, you come against me, what? With a spear and a sword. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He spoke to his giant, he spoke to that champion Goliath, and he spoke to him and he defeated him, saying, the Lord, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, has given me the victory. David understood that you not only pray, inquire of the Lord, you not only obey, do what he tells you to do, but you also have to learn how to say, and you need to learn how to speak to your enemies, speak to your giants, and speak to your mountains, and say, listen, you no longer have authority over me. The Lord has broken forth. The Lord is the master of breakthrough. The Lord has given me the victory this day. Now listen, the Philistines had a grudge against David. How many know? Because he beat their champion, Goliath. That's why they were the arch enemy and kept coming after David. And David understood by him saying, the Lord has broken forth. By him saying that, he wasn't saying, he said, this battle is not about David and Goliath. This is about Jehovah and Baal. This is a battle of which God is able, which God is stronger. And David wasn't being cocky and arrogant. He was a man of faith. How many know cockiness and arrogance says, I broke through. I won the battle. I defeated the enemy. That's not what David said. He said, what did he say? He said, the Lord has broken. How many know the difference between arrogance and cocky and being confident and a person of faith is when we declare what the Lord says and what the Lord does, not who we are and what we have done. David wasn't being arrogant. He was speaking by faith, and he was speaking to his enemy, and he was speaking to that mountain, and he was speaking to those giants and saying, listen, the Lord is the God of breakthrough. Now, here's the third step. Pray, obey, and say. David smote the Philistines saying, the Lord has broken forth. And he called the name of the place, Baal Perazim. The third step to breakthrough has to do with what we say. Listen, when we pray, how we obey and what we say. Those are the three steps to breakthrough. Those are the three things that David did. When we pray, how we obey, and what we say. How many understand with me this morning that what we say matters? What we say matters. How many know when we speak something, we give it life or we give it death? Come on now. And David spoke to his giant when he stood up to Goliath. And David spoke to Mount Baal and redefined it that day. David understood that what you say matters. How many know Jesus taught this same principle in the New Testament? Let me show you what it says in Mark 11. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. No, don't be arrogant. Don't be cocky. Don't think it's all about you. Don't think you're so great. Don't think it's your power. Don't think you're the one who brings breakthrough. But have faith in God who brings breakthrough, the God who brings victory, the God who has power. Have faith in him. For I say unto you that whoever shall say, come on, say, whoever shall say, yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to obey. But how many know it also matters what we say? We need to say to this mountain. David said at Baal Perazim, the mountain of Baal. At that place, he said, the Lord has broken through. He spoke to his mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that the things which that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. What we say matters. David spoke to his giant. David spoke to his mountain. Jesus taught his disciples and us to speak to our mountains and our giants with faith in him, with trust and faith in him. What we say matters. Proverbs 18:21 tells us death and life are in the power of our tongue. And notice this, we often don't hear people read the last part of the verse, but it's just as important. And they that love it, love what? Love the power, understand the power of the tongue, will eat of the fruit whichever way they speak. They'll eat of the fruit of whichever way they speak. If they speak death, they'll eat of the fruit of it. If they speak life, they will eat of that fruit. Whichever one we choose to love and we choose to obey, abide by, whichever one we choose for our life will determine the results. What we say matters. What we say gives life and gives death. All of us can attest to this at some point in our life when someone said something to us that either crushed us or encouraged us. We've had people in our life, some of us have heard from a young child things that we shouldn't have heard. We were told things about ourselves that we were no good, we were an accident, we wouldn't amount to anything, we'll never come. And listen, I'll tell you what, if you hear those things enough, those are death words to a person's life. But what David was saying is, listen, I'm going to say to this mountain, the Lord has broken through. And Jesus said, when you face a mountain and you face an experience, say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Listen, we have the power in what we say. The tongue, the Bible says, is this little part of our life, but it has powerful results as to what we do. And what we say matters. Now, since David spoke to his mountain and Jesus told us to speak to our mountain, here's the question that the Lord put in my heart many weeks ago, and I didn't know where exactly it fit, but I knew it fit this week into this message. Several weeks ago, I was praying, and the Lord put a question in my heart, and I'm going to pose this question to you. And this is exactly where I want you to focus this morning. I want you to get this. Because David spoke to his mountain, Jesus taught us to speak to our mountain. Here's the question I have that the Lord put in my heart. When's the last time we had a talk with our mountain? When's the last time we had a real good talk with our mountain? I didn't say talk about it. I said talk to it. I know a lot of people who talk a lot about their mountain. They tell everybody about how bad their mountain is, how big their mountain is, how terrible their mountain is. We talk about it. But when's the last time we talked to it? David spoke to the mountain of Baal and said, "The Lord has broken through." And Jesus said, if you'll say to that mountain, "Be removed," you can have what you say. When's the last time we had a real good talk with our mountain? How many have ever heard, and don't raise your hand, but everybody can understand, when someone comes up to you and says, "You know, we need to talk." I mean, that's not usually very good. Oh, come on. If someone ever comes up to you and says, "You know, we need to have a talk." How many know you brace yourself for what's coming next? If you're in a relationship with someone and you're dating someone or you're in a relationship and they come up and you say, "You know what? We need to have a talk." Guess what's coming next? Oh, come on. Well, can I say something to you? Listen to me. Please listen to me. It's time for us to have a talk with our mountain and break up with our mountain. Come on, it's time to send that mountain away. It's time to have a talk with that mountain and say, "You've controlled my life. You've dominated my, you've held me back long enough. You've been that barrier and obstacle and that stalemate that's kept me from advancing and from breakthrough. And it's time for you to go." We need to have a talk, mountain. We need to have a chat. And it's time that I stop talking about you and I talk to you. And it's time for you to go. Jesus said, if we will say to that mountain, "Be removed," it can be cast into the sea. Now, how many of you know a mountain represents any problem you're facing today? Any obstacle that's keeping you from advancing and breakthrough? Anything that's holding you back? Anything that's a barrier in the way for you to get to the next place or the next level or where God wants you to be, that's your mountain. And it's time to have a talk with that mountain and say, "Mountain, you've held me back and kept me back long enough. The Lord has broken through. The Lord is going to break through on my behalf. The Lord is going to bring me victory." Come on, how many are ready to have a chat with your mountain? Can I suggest to you over these next 10 days when you pray and you fast, talk to your mountain that way. Don't be nice to your mountain. You know, I'm convinced that some people like to keep their mountain around because it gets them attention. Maybe it's comfortable. Maybe it sounds crazy to think, why would someone want to hold? Well, because they get used to it. I want to suggest to you that you take these next 10 days and you set aside a time each day to pray. And you set aside a discipline to fast. Because there has to be, we have to give something up physically to grow up spiritually. And you'll take some time over these next 10 days and pray and fast. And during that time, you'll start speaking the word of God. You'll start speaking the words of God. You'll start speaking that God is the master over this situation. The Lord is the master of breakthroughs. The Lord is going to bring me breakthrough on my enemies. The Lord is going to give me break. You, during this time of prayer and fast, you start saying the word of God. What did Jesus do when the enemy came to tempt him? He said, "It is written. This is what the Word of God says. It's not what I say, what I think. That's arrogance to think that I have the words in myself to do. It's what the Lord said. It's what the Lord has done. And we need to start saying it. And we need to not be nice to our mountain for the next 10 days. And I want to see mountains go. I want to see breakthroughs over these next 10 days as we commit ourselves to pray, obey, and to say to our mountain, you have no more authority over me. How many know it's time to walk around your house and say, enemy, you have no more authority over this family. It's time for you to get out of this house and stop trying to break up this marriage and stop trying to break up these children and stop trying to cause us to fight against each other. It's time for you to go, and it's time for us to get serious with God. The Lord has broken through. It's time to speak and to say to our mountain, we need to talk. Now, I want to touch on something more that Jesus continued on in Matthew 11 here. Because I can't address all the mountains this morning. But Jesus addresses two specific mountains in the next two verses in that context of that chapter. And I want to touch on that a moment because I want to make this statement before we look at that. If we're going to experience breakthrough for the mountain that's around us or in front of us, how many know we have to deal with the mountain inside us first? How many know there are a couple of mountains that Jesus addresses in the context of Matthew 11 or Mark 11? Two mountains that are internal that we have to overcome so that we can overcome the mountain outside of us and in front of us. Now let's look at the carefully, look at the context. We said that we read the verses before where Jesus said, say to this mountain, be, and you can have what you say. But notice he identifies two mountains. Therefore I say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. Jesus addresses two mountains that we have to overcome first inside of us before we can speak to that mountain that's outside of us. And the two mountains, the first one that Jesus addresses is the mountain of unbelief. When you pray, believe that you receive. Don't take the next 10 days, pray, and make the sacrifice and the discipline to fast, and then say, well, God, I hope this will work. Now, look, I understand that we don't always have the greatest confidence, especially if we've had some defeats, especially if things haven't gone exactly our way. But how many know there's a point where we have to say, Lord, I'm frustrated with the defeats, and I'm frustrated with what's happened to this point, but today I choose to believe. We've got to deal with the mountain of unbelief. When you stand praying, believe that you receive. How many know that in John 11, there's the story of the death of Lazarus, and how many know Jesus shows up 4 days late? How many know if Jesus would have been a pastor, they would have been really mad at him for coming 4 days late? Just saying. Anyways, he shows up, and he meets Mary and Martha, the two sisters. And how many know these two sisters were living with a mountain of unbelief? Because the moment Jesus showed up, they said, Lord, if you would have only been here, he would have come out of the grave. Lord, he wouldn't have died. Lord, how come? Lord, why? And they barraged Jesus with all these questions, all of these unbelief, all these statements of all these things that we all feel, we all face, and we all think. And then Jesus, instead of answering their specific questions, in John chapter 11 and verse 25, says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me. Jesus was not going to answer the how comes and the whys. Listen, we've all asked them. I've asked them. I've cried at bedsides, and I've been in situations where I've asked, Lord, why and how come? I've been there. And then notice what Jesus did. He turns it around and says, listen, I didn't ask you what you felt or what you thought. I want you to believe. I am the resurrection. He that believes in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live. And whosoever lives and believes shall never die. And then he asked Mary and Martha this important question. Do you believe this? And I really believe that's the question this morning. As we head into these next 10 days, if you want to see a breakthrough and you want to see the mountain go, how many know that's really the question? Do you believe it's possible? Do you believe it can happen? Do you believe God can do that? You got to love. Mary and Martha didn't argue with Jesus, didn't say, well, what about our how come question? What about the why? And what about the if you only? And you know what? I love what Martha said. Say. What did she say? What we say matters. She said, yes, Lord, I choose to believe. I don't feel it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't like it. I got a lot of questions. I'm frustrated. But I'm going to choose to believe. Come on, how many know that's what we need to do for these next days? Is we need to pray and we need to obey by fasting. And during that time when we set aside to pray, what we need to do is say, Lord, I have questions. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But I'm choosing to believe. I'm saying to the mountain of unbelief, I'm choosing to believe. I love this passage in Mark 9 because this man is everybody's man. He was a father who came to Jesus with a sick son. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And I love what the man said. He cried out, he said to the Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I want to believe, but I'm having a hard time believing. How many know that's okay? That's honest. I'm not saying to you that you have to have some kind of super saint faith. You got to be some kind of person that just goes around and says things that aren't really real and just says a lot of things that name this and say this and just say whatever you want. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that what we need to say is we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I've got questions about this. I don't understand this. But even though I have that unbelief, I choose to believe. How many know God's not afraid of that? How many know Jesus wasn't afraid of that? You'd have thought, well, hey, this guy isn't going to get what he wants because he said, I have unbelief. Help my unbelief. No, you know what? Jesus took care of that situation for him and healed his son. Why? Because he was honest. It's okay to say, God, I want to believe. I want to be a person of faith. I want to have that kind of faith, but I'm going to start somewhere. How many know faith, the Bible says, can be like the size of a mustard seed? How many know faith is like a muscle? If you have to exercise it to get stronger. And sometimes when you exercise, you have to start at square one. Oh, come on. You have to start at square one. I got to confess to you, I went back to the gym in January. I did what a lot of people do. And I got on the treadmill the other day. And how many know I didn't start the thing at 10. And I didn't set the thing to go 42 miles. You know what I did? I set it to go 1 mile. And I put it on 4. Now you may laugh at that. And you may call me a slacker and a weakling. But you know what? That day I got to 1 mile and I got to 4. You know what? When I went 2 days later, I went 2 miles and went up to 5. Now this week, I hope to get 3 miles and maybe I'll get even a little faster. You got to start somewhere. And maybe you're not as strong as you want to be. Maybe you don't have the kind of faith that you think can move a mountain. Maybe you feel like you're all beaten up and you're all worn out. I get it. You can be honest with God and tell him how you feel, but say, Lord, but despite all that, I'm going to choose to believe. How many are with me? I choose to believe. Start somewhere and start flexing your faith muscle. Start making faith deposits. How many know David had to learn how to speak to a lion and a bear before he ever took on a Goliath? The second mountain that Jesus said needed to go is the mountain of unforgiveness. You see, that's an obstacle that keeps a lot of people from breakthrough. Not only unbelief, but unforgiveness. What did Jesus say is when you pray, believe that you receive. Then he said, and when you pray, forgive if you have aught against someone. For if you don't forgive that person, God won't forgive your trespasses. How many know we've got to get rid of the mountain of unbelief if we want to break through? We've got to get rid of the mountain of unforgiveness if we want to break through. In Matthew 18, there's the story of the servant who had, if you'd put it in today's term, it was $1 million debt. And it was forgiven by the king, by the Lord, the master. But when that person who was forgiven this large debt encountered someone who owed him a little bit, a pence, it said, pennies compared to the millions, he wouldn't forgive him, the little, even though he was forgiven much. And the Bible says that when the Lord found out that he had forgiven him all that and he wouldn't forgive the other, he says, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, and thou hast not compassion on thy fellow servant for the little that he owed. And his Lord was enraged and put him in prison and in torment. Can I say to you, forgiveness is not about letting them off the hook. Forgiveness is about getting you out of jail. Forgiveness is about getting you out of that prison that holds you down and torments you. How many know you're the one that's struggling with it? They're probably not. You see, the debt, we think we misunderstand forgiveness. Forgiveness is not I'm letting them off the hook and saying it's okay. Forgiveness is getting the junk out of my heart that releases me from that. The Bible calls unforgiveness a prison and torment. And there are people who live internally in this prison of unforgiveness and grudges and revenge and these feelings toward other people, and they just can't get. Listen, that's going to bottle up any breakthrough. Look at what Hebrews tells us in 12 verses 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without these, no one can see God. Listen, I know we live at peace with people around us and we live in holiness before God. We're not going to be able to see the great things and experience the great things of the Lord. Be diligent not to fall in the grace of God to forgive. Don't fail. When it comes to the grace of God to forgive, he says, don't fail. Why is it so important that we don't fail? He says, lest a root of bitterness spring up and be poison inside of us. That's why God wants us to forgive, not for their sake, not to let them off the hook, not to say it's okay, so that we don't drink poison and destroy our own life. Prison and poison are the analogies the Bible gives about unforgiveness. That's why it's time for us to break up with that mountain. It's time for us to have a talk with the mountain of unbelief and say, listen, I don't feel this. I don't think this. I'm struggling with this. This didn't happen last time I prayed, and this happened when I did pray. But today I choose to believe. Talk to your mountain today, the mountain of unbelief, and say, listen, I believe and I choose to believe God even though I don't have the faith that I think I need. And let's say to the mountain of unforgiveness, I'm not going to drink that poison anymore. And I'm not going to live in that prison anymore. And I have been forgiven much by God. I'm going to forgive little to others. Matter of fact, I've been forgiven much by God. I'm going to forgive much. That's what we need to say to that mountain of unforgiveness. I've been forgiven much. I'm going to forgive much. Say to that mountain, be removed. The mountain of unbelief needs to go today. And the mountain of unforgiveness needs to go so we can experience breakthrough. Now I want to show you the parallel reference to Mark 11. Matthew also quotes the same thing Jesus said about speaking to our mountains. But I want to show you some other insight that the Lord showed me as I was looking at this. Now, it's two Gospels, Matthew and Mark, saying the same thing, but they both give us some different insight. Look at what Matthew says. A certain man had a son who was tormented and sick, and he brought him to disciples, and they couldn't help him. And Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you to help you?" Then Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, and he departed from him. The disciples said, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. For I say, if you have faith as even the mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, 'Be removed,' and nothing shall be impossible. Moreover, this kind of mountain, this kind of giant, this kind of situation comes out only by prayer and fasting." I want you to notice some key words here. Notice the words faithless and perverse. Let me put that in today's language, what Jesus was saying. You're disconnected from God, and you're too connected to the world. How many see that? Faithless, you're disconnected from God. You're not connected to God in faith. And perverse is you're too connected to the world around you. So what does Jesus give us as the remedy? This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. What does prayer do? Prayer connects us, come on, to God. And fasting disconnects us from the world and from flesh and self. Come on, how many see that? We want to see a breakthrough? Connect to God and disconnect from self and flesh. Take 10 days and say, "I'm going to disconnect myself from that which I'd love to have." I'm going to disconnect myself by disciplining myself and fasting. And I'm going to pray and connect myself to God in faith. In connecting to God and disconnecting from self, disciplining myself, doing something as an act of obedience, we disconnect from God and we connect in prayer. And this kind, these mountains can come out by prayer and fasting. And let me just say this, don't drive by the donut shop. How many saw that? I'm going to close. You know our challenge. I've already talked about it all day. What are we going to say then to our mountain? Where do we start? Well, let me give you two things to start with. During these next 10 days, here are two things you should say over and over again. After you say the unbelief, this is what, and listen, I choose to believe, and I choose to forgive. Those are two things that we need to speak. We talked about it. But let me show you. Here's the first thing that I think we need to say during these next 10 days for breakthrough. What shall we say to these things? What things? Death, life, angels, principalities, famine, pestilence, all the things that are listed in Romans 8. Paul says, list all these things, and then he says, listen, what are we going to say to all these things? How many know there's things that overwhelm us? There's things that we all face that are mountains that overwhelm us. And he says, listen, what are you going to say to those things? Say, if God be for me, then who or what can stand against me? You know what? When we pray and we fast over these next days, when you get into your prayer closet and you discipline yourself to do that, I want to encourage you to say, here's my mountain, but I'm going to say to that mountain, God is for me, and you can't affect me anymore. You have no authority anymore. If God is for me, then this mountain cannot be against me. This giant cannot stop me. If God is for me, that's what we need to say to that mountain. Now, let me give you the second thing. In Joel 3 and 9, the Bible says, proclaim among the people, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let them draw near. Let them pray. Let them seek the face of God. Let them fast. He talks about that in chapter 2, by the way, prayer and fasting. That's what he meant by let them draw near in prayer and fasting. He says, beat your plowshares into spears and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. We talked about the fact that breakthrough is a military term, and breakthrough doesn't happen by us sitting back and letting anything happen to us. How many know we got to go on the offensive and start praying, start obeying, and start saying. And look at what he says. What did they say? Let the weak say, I am strong. I may feel weak. I may feel like I'm not doing good. I may feel like this is what is, but I'm going to say, I am strong. You need to get up every morning, and you need to get up every morning during these days, and we need to do that even beyond these 10 days, and get up and say, this morning, no matter what I face today, no matter what mountain I face, no matter what question, no matter what problem, no matter what barrier, God is for me. And we need to get up in the morning and say, no matter what this is happening, no matter what that's happening, I am strong, not in my own self, not in my own ability, but I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have to start saying, not what we think, not just mind over matter, not just say positive things, but we need to say the word of God. God is for me. This mountain has to go. I am strong, and I am going to succeed in the name of the Lord. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to close your eyes. I want to